The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveller's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near." Then he said to his disciples, "Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for reading God's word for us. So I was saying a wee bit earlier about Practical Help Week having just finished, and I want to show you it has been so encouraging, you know, to be out for the month of June, knocking doors, speaking to people about Jesus, praying with people, and then to be doing a week through Practical Help Week of going out to really try and bless practically and to fix some stuff for people has been amazing. And as Justin says, you know, there's painting, there's gardening, there's fixing some stuff up. And I guess the question that was kind of bothering me all week is, how significant is it? How significant is it for people to go out and to knock a door and to speak about Jesus, meet our neighbors in this city? And how significant is it to just go and fix up a cabin or do some gardening? As great as that is, does it have significance? And that's what we're going to look at today, because in today's passage, Jesus sends out the 72 to do local mission in his area. And it's local mission that was actually eternally significant, to the point that we're still talking about it 2020 something years later. And what's so fascinating about this particular passage, different to the Great Commission, is that it actually details a lot about how local mission should be done to see the life of God's kingdom come. And what we'll see is that local mission has eternal significance when ordinary people, ordinary believers, do God's work, God's way, for God's glory. That's what's in the passage, and that's what we're going to see. So the passage begins in verse 1. It says, "The Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places that he planned to visit." The 72 were ordinary people. They were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And the same is true today. As Justin said, nobody needs to have a special qualification to get involved in mission. It's done by ordinary people empowered by the love of God. We go out, as the 72 did, to bring blessing in word and in deed. And we focus on God's work. Jesus told the 72 to remember that the harvest belongs to God. And often what we do is we start to pray and think about the harvest We really pray, Lord, that there'll be a great harvest when we go out. We pray that we'll see many people come to faith. But Jesus is actually saying something different to the 72 in this passage. He says, the harvest belongs to the Lord. And if you're going to pray, actually pray that there'd be more harvest hands. And I think sometimes our faith's too small. We pray that there would be a harvest, but Jesus is telling us there is a great harvest. And that we're to pray for extra hands. They're confident. Jesus is confident about the harvest. And Paul echoes this confidence whenever he says to the Galatian church, let us not grow weary of doing what's right, for we will reap a harvest at the right time if we do not give up. Confidence in the fact that there is a harvest, that this mission is worthwhile. It's God's job to think about the harvest and about how many people are going to come in and what the impact is. But we focus on doing the work. Local mission has eternal significance when ordinary believers show up to do God's work, to do God's work of mission. New life comes through ordinary believers doing God's work. But there's another thing that the passage tells us, because people are needed to do God's work. We need to pray for extra hands. But the second thing is, God's work has to be done in God's way. And that's what we see in the passage. Jesus says, as he sends them out in pairs, now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. God doesn't send them out to overpower or to enforce a message or to stick a foot in someone's door to stop them closing it. God sends them out as lambs among wolves, to be gentle and humble in heart like he is, but to announce the good news of the kingdom. And God's way of doing this is team-based. He sends them out in pairs. God's way is relational. Jesus doesn't send people out alone. God's way is shared, it's communal, it's based in relationships. And there is no solo heroism. In local mission, we work with others side by side, not just as individuals with personal agendas. We get so focused sometimes on what God is doing through us, and we think about what is God doing through us to change this city and to bring new life, that we actually miss what God's doing in us. Because as we go and do mission, one of the big things that happens is that God changes the church. He blesses the church and he transforms us. And that's going to have to happen. If he wants to send us out as lambs among wolves, our hearts are going to need to be softened. Local mission, God's way, has eternal significance because it changes the church. To illustrate this further, I'm going to need a wee bit of help. So I'm going to ask the children to come up to the front if you're willing to come up and take part in a little project. Come on up to the front, kids. And you can help me out with something for a minute or two. I thought you'd be a bit quicker than that now. Don't be worried. Now I've got...
Are we all here? There we are. Thank you. So, guys, listen, well done. Thank you for coming up. Is all doing okay?
Okay, great. Now, I've got a wee job for you. I've got good news and bad news. Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news.
Good news. Pretty much good news. Okay, the good news is you cannot fail doing this job, okay? There is no conceivable way to get it wrong, okay? Do you want the bad news?
Yeah.
The bad news is it's really hard. It's really, really difficult, right? So, anyway... Okay, so what I'm going to do is, can we get into a circle, please? Can we get into a circle? Let's form a big circle here. And everybody, nice circle. That's it. You stand here, Riley. Well, we'll go around. Okay, so circle with hands in the middle. One hand in the middle. One hand only. And what I want you to do with your one hand is take the hand of someone else. Okay? Now, take somebody else's hand and hold on to it. Just one hand each. Okay? So, that's it. Okay. Has everybody got a hand? Okay. There you go. Great. Now, everybody put your other hand in. I was working out my mathematics there. If you've all got two hands, everybody should be holding a hand. So put your other hand in and grab another hand. Now, try not to get wrapped up too tightly, okay? Has everybody got the second hand? Okay.
Let's see, how are we doing? Oh, you've got a spare hand here. Do you want to put that in? Do you want me to hold your wee teddy? You okay? Okay, I'll hold this for you. There's somebody's got a free hand to hold there. Okay? There's a hand here. Look, you put that hand in. Okay, right, let's start then. Okay, so what you're going to do, without any pushing or pulling or anything like that, we're going to work together to see if we can untangle each other, okay? So, you're trying not to let go, Robin, thank you for reminding me. You're trying not to let go of anybody's hand, but if you need to let go because it gets sore for any reason, do let go, okay? We'll not be watching too closely. So, see if you can now untangle yourselves, nice and gently. Okay. That's good. How did you guys get out here? You've got your own hands. Okay. That's okay. Well, you can probably get untangled quite quickly. That's good. Okay. How are you doing over here? Okay, that's a bold move there. Watch the hands. Let go if you need to. Definitely don't want any broken arms while Nigel's away. Sorry. Okay, yous have done really well. You're doing great. That's brilliant. How yous doing? Should we give them some support, guys? We cheer for them a wee bit. Come on, let's go. How you doing? Okay, you are holding the same hand, so I'm going to let you let that one go. Yeah, you let that one go. And then you can come around this side. I think you have done it, actually. How good was that? Well done. Well, that's it. We're going to do one. Guys, well done. That was brilliant. You see, whenever we did that at home with four of us, it took us about twice as long. So you did really, really well. Well done. Thank you. So listen, you have really helped me illustrate the point that actually God's approach to mission, God's way of doing mission, is that we do it together. And the thing about that is that he teaches us to work together and he actually brings us joy. Did you enjoy that? Was it good fun? Yeah. Sort of. But it's kind of like, you know, these things aren't scary. Actually, when you do them together, things become quite fun and it can be a bit of a laugh, you know, and that can be a good thing. So listen, go and take your seats. Thank you very, very much.
Well done. See where I am here now. Okay, there we go. Human knot, tick. So that team building exercise is called the human knot, and many of you maybe have done that in like some sort of managerial setting, but it's designed to sort of build relationships, to develop trust and community among a group of people, and to improve communication and create friendships, and that's what that has been shown to do. And in many ways, you know, God sends us on mission together, and that's why God's way of doing mission is together, because he also wants to create those things among his family, among the people of God. And so he doesn't work in what might be the most efficient way, because he could have just, you know, turned creation around himself, but he chooses to work with people, and he chooses to get people to work together. And actually, and you know, that is his way, and that is his way of doing mission. And so we do it together. And so God's mission is significant when it's done God's way and when God's work is completed. But there is one last thing from the passage that goes together. We do God's work, we do it God's way, and we do it for the glory of God. And that's the final thing that brings the whole thing together. The 72 return to Jesus, having done their mission, and they're full of joy. And that's what we always see when we go out to do some of this stuff. Our knees might be knocking together, we might be a bit fearful, and when we come back in, there's joy because we've seen the Lord at work. And that's what happens with the 72 coming back. And Jesus sees the significance of their mission because he says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So he's been aware that while they were out in the spiritual realm, something really significant was happening. And we don't get to see that, but he saw it. And part of that is prefiguring what he's going to do on the cross. But there was something that took place when those people went out that Jesus saw. Maybe it's a vision that he had. But we learn from that even small expressions of local mission are spiritually significant. Like painting or gardening or fixing up DIY projects or knocking doors to speak about Jesus. These are all immensely significant spiritual activities. Local mission is about the inbreaking of God's kingdom rule on earth. And that's what's meant whenever we say new life for the city. The new life that we're talking about is the inbreaking of God's kingdom. And that was all made possible by Jesus giving his life on the cross. But then Jesus says a word of warning to the guys in the passage. He says, don't rejoice because the evil spirits submit to you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Local mission has eternal significance when ordinary believers do God's work, God's way, for God's glory. And we focus, and when we focus on the results that we can see with our eyes, when we see people come to faith, when we see people be blessed, and we get too fixated on that, something goes wrong because we stop giving the glory to God. And what we're actually meant to do is to breathe in the fruit of that new life that we're seeing. And then instead of holding our breath and keeping it in, we're meant to turn to God and breathe out and give the glory to God. And that is the rhythm of breathing the life of the kingdom. You do these good works, you do them God's way for his glory. You breathe in the fruit of it. You turn to God and you breathe it out and you give him the glory. And that is whenever mission takes on eternal significance and God blesses it. Jesus carried out the most significant local mission in all of history. He did exactly the same thing as we're talking about. He did God's work on the cross. He did it in God's way. He submitted himself entirely to the Father, and he did it all for the glory of God. Complete humility, the most humble person who ever lived. That's the source of our joy, and we rejoice only because our names are registered in heaven. That's the thing to look at and the thing to remember. And that keeps us humble. And so we can go and do these things and not lose our heads over it, but celebrate it. And the way to remember and to stay humble is to remember what it cost Jesus to give us new life. To remember that he gave his life. He didn't hold anything back. Ordinary believers doing God's work, God's way, for God's glory. I want to say thank you to everybody who took part in New Life for the City. It's been brilliant. It's been really, really good. And we look forward to going out again in December to the streets to bless people and to talk to them about Jesus and to give away some gifts and then to go again at Easter. And so you'll be hearing about that. But I'm really looking forward and excited about the fact that we're going to continue on this journey. And thank you for your support and your prayerful support. And let's pray together now. Lord, your word tells us the harvest is great and the workers are few. Lord, thank you that you have been stirring people up to serve. Thank you, Lord, that we have seen the evidence of new life coming to this city through the efforts of people here and their confidence to step out to do God's work in God's way and to give God the glory. And Lord, we pray for more. We pray that you would transform us as a people to be dependent on you, to be soft-hearted, and to be those who are lambs in the world. And Lord, rely on your transformational power to bring healing and hope to those that we meet. So Lord, bless those that have served. And Lord, we look forward to all you have for us in what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen.